The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning, the words of verse number 3 of Psalm number 56. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now, David penned this psalm whenever he was fleeing from Saul, and whenever he was taken by the Philistines of Gath, who were the age-old enemies of the people of God. You will see from the title before verse 1, which is inspired, that it is called the Miktam of David. And that word Miktam really means golden, and it really shows us that the words of this psalm are like gold. The words of this psalm are something that are exceedingly precious, of great value and of great worth. And the reason why this psalm is so precious is due to the fact that it highlights David's trust in the Lord at a time of great fear and a time of great danger in his life. And that trust is outlined by David for us in the words of our text here this morning in verse number 3. When he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And it's this matter here of David's trust in the Lord that I want us to consider in our time this morning. For just as David was one who trusted in the Lord, so it is also the Lord's will for all of his people to trust in him, to trust in the Lord, and to live the life of faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. My, the credential for every child of God is to be one of faith in the Lord. It has been said that faith is the identifying mark of the believer, the born-again Christian, if you like. It is the hallmark of true Bible-believing Christianity. It has been said that faith in God is never out of season. Speaking of his own faith in the Lord, the hymn writer penned these words and said, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." And that was the desire of the hymn writer. Indeed, those same words should be the continual burden and desire and prayer of every child of God. And that being so, I want us then to consider these words of David this morning, verse 3. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." There are three things that I want you to note here from this verse about the faith of David of old. First of all, notice with me here the meaning of David's faith. What did David mean when he says there at the end of verse 3, he says, "I will trust in thee"? Well, by those words, David's faith really is showing us here and telling us here that God is one, the holy God of heaven, the great I am of eternity, is one who is accessible through a mediator. You look at what David says at the very beginning of the psalm in verse number 1. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God." And by the only way that God can be merciful to anyone is through the mediator of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, David's faith here was such that he recognized that he himself could only approach unto God through the mediator of his Son, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And friends, this morning, here you and I are reminded of a tremendous gospel truth right at the very outset of our message. The Bible makes it very clear that we all are sinners by nature and by practice. The Bible says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You and I were born into this world sinners by nature, sinners by practice. We all have sinned against Almighty God. What is sin? It's the breaking of the commandments of God. It's our failing to live up to the standard of God's word and God's truth. And what does our sin do? What is the effect of sin in our lives between us and God? Our sin separates us from God. The Bible says that your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you. Sin is a barrier between us and God. Not only does it separate us from God, the Bible makes it very clear that our sins and our iniquities, they condemn us each one to a lost eternity in that place which the Bible calls hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible declares that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. However, the good news of the gospel of Christ is this. The Bible makes it very clear and plain that if we repent of our sins before God and confess our sins to God and by faith turn away to Christ and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and rest upon his sacrifice and the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away our sins and to save our souls, what will God do for us in mercy? Through Christ, he will forgive all our sins. He will pardon our iniquities. And my, through Christ, we can know God's saving mercy. Through Christ, we can have acceptance with God, and we can have a place in God's heaven, and we can call upon God and cry out to God, Abba, our Father. The Apostle Paul sums that great truth up in a nutshell in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 13 when he speaks of Christ. He says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh. By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Christ, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning. You're still unsaved, man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting today. Let me say this, that if you are to be right with God, if you are to be saved from your sins, if you are to know God as your heavenly Father, if your sins are to be forgiven, if your soul is to be saved from the wrath to come, then you must come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for salvation. Praise God when you come as a penitent sinner to Christ and lay hold upon Christ and trust him as Savior. Then you will know the saving mercy, the saving grace of God in your life, just like the psalmist David did many years ago. Yes, David's faith here, it shows us that God is accessible through the mediator of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice something else here about David's faith. These words here in verse 3, they also show us that David's will was surrendered to God. This was another expression of his faith, that his will was surrendered to God. Look at what he says there in verse 12 to the Lord. He says, Thy vows are upon me. What is David saying there? David here we see was surrendered to God's will. In other words, he was determined to pay his vows unto the Lord. He was yielded up to the Lord. His will was yielded to God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, this is what the life of faith also means for you and I as well as believers. Our wills are to be submitted to God. Our wills are to be yielded to the Lord. You think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was his prayer to his heavenly Father? He says, Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. He was yielded up to God. That is how it must be also with you and I as God's people. Our wills yielded to God, to the Lord, our Heavenly Father. Yes, David's faith shows that God is accessible through a mediator. His faith shows that his will was surrendered up to God. But also these words here in verse 3, they show us also that David's faith meant a yielding to the very providence of God, to the very providential dealings of God with him in his life. I want you to notice something here from the psalm. Despite all the ordeals that David was now facing and going through as he penned the psalm, nowhere in the psalm do you read of David complaining against God. Nowhere in the psalm do you read of David murmuring against the Lord. In fact, his testimony is the very opposite. His testimony here is one of praise to the Lord. And he tells us that in the midst of the psalm. Look at what he says there at the beginning of verse 4. He says, "In God I will praise his word." Look at verse number 12 at the end of the verse. He says, "I will render," he says, "offer up praises unto thee." You think also of the words of Psalm 34. And Psalm 34 relates to this same time in David's life. And how does David begin Psalm 34? He begins it with these words, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." And my, at this point in his life, despite what was happening, despite events around him, adverse circumstances and situations, David's faith was such here that he was a man full of praise and gratitude unto the Lord. Child of God, the life of faith also means us being yielded to the providence of the Lord, and despite things that come our way, being able to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. Turn in your Bible with me over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, and look at the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 4 of that chapter. And remember, as Paul writes this chapter, he himself is writing from a prison cell in Rome, soon to be martyred for his own faith, and he's counseling the Lord's people here, no doubt, through his own testimony and through his own experience. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." And my, that's the word of the Lord to you and I also as believers, and living out our faith before the world, living out our faith before the ungodly, even in difficult times and trying times. We are to rejoice in the Lord at all times, in all circumstances, and in all situations. It has been said, even crosses from his sovereign hand are blessings in disguise. Yes, we see here the meaning of David's faith. But notice not only the meaning of David's faith this morning. Notice, secondly, the season of David's faith. You go back to our Psalm, Psalm 56, and go back to our text. Look at what David says as he begins verse 3. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Notice those words, "I am afraid." And those words really show us here that at this point in his life, David was afraid. The mighty man of God, the man who slew Goliath as a young man. Here he was afraid, he was fearful, he was apprehensive. And we can say that David had good reason to be afraid. The Philistines were his enemies, and Saul and his men were out to kill David, to slay him, to take his life. It was a time of great danger for David. Look at verse 6 in the psalm. He says, "They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul." My, they like somebody hunting for the prey. They were watching him, dogging his steps, out to take his very life. It was a time when his enemies relentlessly dogged his steps. They were relentless in their pursuit of David. Look at what he says there in verse number 1. He says, "Oh God," he says, "for man would swallow me up." Notice the words, "he fighting daily oppresseth me." This was a daily oppression upon David. Look again at what he says in verse 2. He says, "mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many," he says, that fight against me. Oh, thou most high, there was a great multitude against David at this particular time. And you'll see something else here, that David felt surrounded by his enemies, totally overwhelmed, no respite. For in verse number 5, he says, "every day they wrest my words, and all their thoughts are against me for evil." They twisted his words. Their hearts were full of malice and evil intent against David at this particular time. And this was the man who was a man after God's own heart. And what was the effect of it all in David? He was fearful, he was afraid, he was apprehensive, but also he was to shed many tears at this particular point in his life. Look at what he says in verse 8 of the Psalm. He says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle." It was a time of tears for David. A time of great anxiety, a time of fear, a time of grief even to David. And at this particular time, this is what we see from our text here today, that he trusted in the Lord for help. He trusted in the Lord for deliverance. He trusted in the Lord for strength. He trusted in the Lord to be his refuge at this particular juncture in his life. And brethren and sisters in Christ in our meeting this morning, a lesson here for you and I, surely it's very plain to us as God's people, and it is this. In all our times of fear, in all our times of trouble, in all our times of need, what are we to do? We're to follow here the example of David. My, we're to trust the Lord for his help. We're to trust the Lord for his strength. We're to trust the Lord for his deliverance. We're to trust the Lord for his provision. We're to trust the Lord for his blessing in the midst of such circumstances of life. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to the prophecy of Nahum, the little book of Nahum, near the end of the Old Testament. Nahum chapter number 1. You come to the book of Micah, you'll come then to Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. Look with me, please, at verse number 7. I encourage you, believer, to mark this verse in your Bible. It's a tremendous verse of encouragement to God's people in their time of need. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Every believer, every child of God has their day of trouble. And what are we to do in our days of adversity, in our days of trouble and trial? We see there that we're to look to the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord. We're to rest upon the Lord for help and succor and strength and refuge in a time of need. Oh, at such times and in such circumstances, we're not to depend upon man. For the Bible says, "Vain is the help of man." At such times and such circumstances, we're not to rest upon the world. For the Bible says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help." Rather, in all our circumstances and situations of care, we're to rest in the Lord. We're to depend upon the Lord. Believer, I would encourage you today in your times of need, times of distress and trial, difficulty, whatever they are, you rest upon the Lord. You resort to the Lord. You look afresh to the Lord in your hour of need and your time of adversity. Listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah as he speaks. In Jeremiah chapter 16, in the verse number 19, he says, "O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction." Who did Jeremiah turn to in his time of affliction for strength and for protection and refuge? It was the Lord. He sought the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. Believer, follow the example of Jeremiah. Follow the example of the psalmist in our text this morning. In times of weakness, believer, you can depend upon the Lord for strength. The Bible says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." In times of bereavement, you can trust in the Lord for comfort. The Lord is the God of all comfort. He says, I am he that comforteth you. In times of indecision, you can trust upon the Lord and lean upon him for guidance and for counsel. The Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." In times of loneliness, when you're alone, you can rest upon him for his presence. His promise is, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In times of serving the Lord, you can trust the Lord for his help, for his blessing.
for his strength. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And the Lord is one who comes near to his people. And he has promised, believer, to uphold you as his child by the right hand of his righteousness. He says, "Fear thou not, I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. Be not dismayed, I will help thee. I will be with thee." David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Yes, the meaning of his faith, the season of his faith. Notice one final thing this morning here from our text in the psalm. Notice the outcome of David's faith. What was the outcome of him looking to the Lord? You'll see that his fears are relieved. For look at what he says in verse 4, immediately after our text. He says, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." His fears were relieved. David here is no longer afraid of man, for he knows that God has heard his cry, that God has heard his prayer, his supplication. Look at verse number 9 of the psalm. He says, "When I cry unto thee, then mine enemy shall turn back. This I know, for God," he says, "is for me." He was confident in the Lord. His fears were dispelled. His fears were relieved. And likewise, believer, whenever you trust the Lord in your time of need, you'll find also, just like David here in the psalm, your fears being relieved. My, the problems to us, the mountains to us, are nothing to our God. The Bible says the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. My, when you trust in the Lord in your time of need, you'll experience the very truth of Christ's own word when he says, "Be not afraid, only believe." You bring your need, your care, your burden, whatever it is, to the Lord. That which causes you to fear and causes anxiety of heart and of soul, you will find that fear being relieved, that fear being dispelled. Something else, another outcome here of David's faith, is that he is comforted with the very thought that God has taken note of his sorrows, note of his grief and his care. Many here were against David at this time. In many ways, he felt alone. He felt shut in with these enemies all around about him. But he is encouraged in his heart, he is encouraged in his soul, that his God, the God of heaven, the God of eternity, the God of his salvation, has taken note of his need, his cares, his sorrows, his heartache. Look at what he says again in verse number 8 of the psalm. He says to the Lord, "Thou tellest my wanderings." In other words, the Lord knew all about him. Then he says this, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Notice there that he talks about the book of God's remembrance. You see, in the East, it was an ancient custom to gather tears in a bottle. Whenever tears were shed, as a time of remembrance of that time of fear, of that time of anxiety. And what is David saying here when he says to the Lord, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" David here is consoled in his heart with the very fact that he knows and is assured that God knows all about his grief. God knows all about his sorrow, his hurt, his anxiety, his fears at that particular time. That the Lord his God knew all about it. May have been hidden from others, but it was not hidden from the Lord. The Lord knew. Over in the book of the Revelation, you have the Lord writing to one of his churches, going through a time of trial and tribulation, and it says there, the Lord is speaking in one of his seven letters to his people, and he says these words, "I know thy tribulation." He knew all about their need, knew all about their tribulation. And believer in Christ, this is your portion in the Lord this morning as well. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers."
It says of the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord's care is upon you.
Turn with me back to Exodus chapter number 2. The book of Exodus, back at the beginning of the Bible, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 2, and go down to the very end of the chapter. Verse 23, verse 24, and verse 25 deal with Israel down in the bondage of Egypt. Things now had changed for Israel. When Joseph went off the scene and the Pharaoh who knew Joseph had gone, they were in cruel, hard bondage, facing hard taskmasters, but the Lord knew all about their need. It says in verse 23 of Exodus chapter 2, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. Notice it, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God saw their need. God was concerned about their need. God's eye was upon them. The very heart of God was upon them in their time of need, in their time of great difficulty. And this was something that consoled David's heart. Believer, let this truth console your heart today. Let it encourage your soul. No matter what happens, no matter what the storm is, the Lord knows. The Lord's eye is upon you. His fears are relieved. He's consoled by the fact that the Lord knows. Another outcome here of David's faith is that God delivers him from the very schemes of his enemies at this particular time. Look at the very final word in the psalm, verse 13. Of Psalm 56, he says to the Lord, thou hast, he says, notice it, delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He had confidence in the Lord's deliverance, not only now, but in the days that lie ahead. At this juncture in his life, God delivered him out of the hand of the Philistines. From the hand of Saul. He could say in Psalm 34, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He could say, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The Lord delivered him. He preserved his very life at this time. And not only that, but later on, just as God had promised when all seemed to be against David, he was to take the throne in Israel. He was to reign upon the throne. For it says in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 4, it speaks of David at Hebron, and this is what it says. It says, the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over Judah. At this particular point in time, when Psalm 56 was written, the enemy was against David. I believe the devil himself was the architect behind this attack upon David at this time to try and prevent him from taking up the throne in Israel and reigning in the land. But God thwarted the plans, the attacks of the evil one upon David. He delivered David. And in accordance with his own word and his own plan and purpose, he enabled David to take the throne. And to reign in the land and to be a great blessing to Israel of old. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, learn here from David. Whenever you call upon the Lord, you too can trust the Lord for his deliverance, just like David. The Word of God says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The psalmist says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David here cast his burden upon the Lord. What are you to do, believer, in the burdens of life and with the burdens of life that come upon you? Cast them upon the Lord. Look to the Lord for victory. Look to the Lord for strength. Look to the Lord for grace. Look to the Lord for a way ahead. Paul, writing to God's people, says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Child of God, there's victory for you in Christ. It's not victory for us in ourselves or in man or anything of this world. But there's victory for you in Christ. Oh, in light of that victory, may our daily testimony be like that of David in our text and in this psalm this morning that we've been looking at. And he said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Are you afraid this morning, believer, about some circumstance, some situation, some trial, some need in your life? Trust in the Lord. Lean upon the Lord. Look to the Lord. Depend upon Him. He will bless you. He will undertake for you. He will meet your every need. Let us bow together, please, in a word of prayer. We're going to bring our meeting to a close in prayer. We're going to have the Lord's table after the meeting this morning. We're going to sing a hymn in closing. And after the singing of the first verse of that hymn, I'll be going to the door. If you can't stay for the Lord's table, we'll be there at the door to greet you. But we would encourage as many as possible of the Lord's people to wait behind and to remember His death in His own appointed way. But may God bless His word today to every heart. Believer, look afresh to the Lord in your time of need. But if you're not saved today, oh, that you would look unto Christ for salvation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here in Thy house today. We thank Thee for the testimony of David, who could say, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. And Lord, help us as Your people in the week that lies before us and whatever comes our way, Lord, to lean upon Thee, not to rest upon ourselves, to lean not on our own understanding, Lord, but to rest upon Thy grace, Thy strength, Thy help, Thy presence, Thy blessing. Remember those going through times of difficulty and storm, particularly at this time in their life. And Lord, may they know the great reality of Thy word, that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. For any in our gathering today and they're not saved, may they come in faith to Christ and look to Him and rest upon Him for salvation. Know the wonderful joy of sins forgiven. Bless us around the table of the Lord. Bless all who will stay. Remember those who cannot stay. Give traveling mercies. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour, we ask. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together hymn number 481 in your hymn book. 481 and the page 370. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. O let me from this day be wholly thine. But stand as we sing 481 after the singing of the first verse. I'll be going to the door. If you can't stay for the Lord's table, we'll be there to greet you as you leave. 481, but stand as we sing. As we sing.